We're going to continue in this story. This will be our last week. We're going to look at this story of Jesus Christ and washing the feet of the disciples. And I wanted to say, you know, it's a text about feet. And how many of you guys have clean feet? Raise your hand if you got clean feet today. All right, we're going to be sending somebody by in a few minutes to smell. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But this is a text about feet. And in our culture, it's not, you know, we don't really understand this, but you can understand how in that culture, foot washing was important. They wore sandals. The streets were very dirty and dusty. They didn't want to drag stuff into their homes any more than we do today. And so their feet were very dirty. So what they would do is they would have a towel, a basin there when you enter into a house, and you would clean your feet, or a servant would clean them, but you would never wash someone else's feet. But yet Jesus Christ is in the upper room, and it's the night that he's going to be arrested. He's going to go to the cross, and he's at the table with his 12 disciples. And the Bible says that he gets up from the table, and you've seen me do this now for several weeks. He goes over here, and the Bible says that he grabs this towel, and he girds himself with the towel, and then he gets a basin full of water, and he goes over here, and he begins to wash the feet of all 12 of the disciples. And last week we saw how that when he got to Peter, the Apostle Peter, some interesting things here begin to take place, some conversation, some dialogue that God kind of lets us in on. Look at it with me. Go to John 13, and we'll start reading in verse 5. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So he literally takes on the form of a servant, and he begins to wash their feet. Verse number 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You going to wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that's washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he's clean every whit. He's clean completely. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, just to kind of review a little bit, he's washing their feet, and Peter's like, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? He's like, yeah, Peter, you don't get it, but you will later. Peter's like, no, you're not washing my feet. And he says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you cannot have a part in what I'm doing. So then a good old Peter, you know, wash all of me, you know. And he says to Peter, no, you don't have to get a complete bath, Peter. And what he means by that is this. Peter had already put his faith in Christ. He'd already been forgiven. He'd already been cleansed. But his feet were dirty. In fact, all the disciples' feet were dirty. And as Jesus Christ kneels down here, and as he's washing their feet, this was a picture to them of what they desperately needed. They needed a heart of servanthood. They were full of pride. They had been arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, what position they were going to have in the kingdom, and they're just full of themselves. And so now he's giving them a vivid illustration, picking up the towel, of what they needed in their life. Their walk was dirty. Their walk with Christ was not right. And so he's going to illustrate that to them. And we began to talk last week about the fact that God compares our Christian life to a walk, church. He says that we need to walk worthy of the Lord. The Bible says that we need to walk by faith. The Bible compares our life as a Christian to a walk. And as we think about that, we think, okay, well, how do I keep clean feet? How do I keep my walk right? How do I keep from not allowing the fleshly enticements and the fleshly lusts that are out there in the world defile my walk? How do I keep my walk right? And last week, you remember I brought in the bathtub, and we said that you first need a total cleansing from Christ. In other words, you need to be saved. And I wonder how many of you in here today can say with all your heart, Pastor Dan, I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. I've been washed through his blood. I've been forgiven. How many of you could say that? Say amen, huh? Great. Now, that's the first thing, though. And last week we focused on salvation. And if you don't know for sure you're saved, that's the first step. You got to get that settled. You got to know you've been cleansed. You got to know you've been washed in Him. You got to know you've been forgiven. That's the first thing, but that's not the only thing. Because after you get saved, there's some things that need to be in your life or you're going to struggle. And that brings me to number two. And I want you to look in your handout at number two, and that's this. We also need the water of the Word applied to our daily walk. We need the water of the Word applied to our daily walk. Now, let me just say this. The men that are in the upper room with Christ, the 12 disciples, they were all saved except one. Can anybody tell me who was the man not saved? Who? Judas Iscariot. That's very clear. Look at verse number 10 again. He says, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. He's clean completely. And ye are clean, he said, but not all. Verse 11, he says, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Let me explain that real quickly. What the Bible's saying is that 11 of the 12 men had put their faith in Christ. They had been made clean. They had been made whole. They had a relationship with Jesus Christ. There was one man of the 12 that did not have that. He was a religious imposter. We talked about that last week. And his name was Judas Iscariot. So Jesus Christ looks at the 12 and he says, ye, that's a plural, okay? We know that's in the plural form. So he's not just talking to Peter. He says, you guys are all clean, but not all. He said, there is one of you who is not clean. He didn't say a name at that point. He just says, one of you are not clean. But the point is this. They were all saved except Judas, but yet they were struggling in their walk. They had some dirty feet. There was some real issues, as I mentioned a minute ago. There was some real issues of pride. There was some real issues of self-will and arrogance that Jesus knew all about. The problem was that the disciples did not recognize their pride and their sin. Have you ever noticed how good we are at spotting other people's faults and not so good at seeing our own shortcomings? And they were pretty good at spotting each other's, but they didn't see their own. Sometimes in children's ministry, I used to work in children's ministry. When I first came to the church, I was an assistant pastor, and Denise and I worked with the kids as an assistant. And of course, Pastor Clint is our children's pastor now, but I was the children's pastor. And I used to love that. I love working with kids. And I would get a couple kids, you know, Denise and I would, and we'd start talking to them about salvation. And we would start explaining sin to them. And we would be like, do you know what sin is? And then we would explain, sin is when you do wrong. When you disobey God and you disobey the Bible, that's sin. Have you ever sinned? And invariably, especially if there were brothers, one of them would say, Tommy, he sinned. He hit me yesterday. Well, you know, kids do that, but adults aren't a lot better. Amen. Don't you know the disciples, though, were hit with their sin like a ton of bricks when Jesus Christ stoops down? Here they are full of pride, and the Son of God, God in the flesh, is stooping down, washing their nasty feet and drying them with a towel. Don't you know that their own pride came to the surface and they saw it firsthand? And they're thinking, whoa, man, we are idiots, you know? Man, we are fools. Like, oh, you know, they had to be so embarrassed. As their sin came to light, as he's washing their feet, they're thinking, man, mercy, we were stupid. And you know, sometimes, have you ever been convicted by the right actions of somebody else when you were doing wrong? You ever been convicted by the right actions of somebody else? I know when my kids were growing up, I had three boys, and it'd be my day off. I'd be outside washing the car, and the boys would be outside playing, throwing the ball or whatever. And then invariably, one of them would finally recognize, oh, wow, Dad's washing the car, and I guess I should offer to help. So one of my boys would say, Dad, do you need some help? Within seconds, the other two boys would say, yeah, Dad, you need some help? Why? They were convicted by the spirit of servanthood in their brother. They were convicted by the one who was willing to serve. Jesus' actions, picking up the towel, it showed the disciples how dirty their feet really were. But just like the disciples, our feet get dirty too as we walk through Satan's world system. And you know, maybe we're saved, maybe we've been inwardly cleansed by Jesus Christ, but we're walking through a dirty world. And I mean, let's just face it, that's not being negative, that's just being realistic in saying that we walk through a very dirty world. I mean, you don't have to go very far or read the paper very long to know the atrocities, the wickedness, the sin that is in this world. And that should not make us cynical. We just need to understand the challenges that we face as believers. In your handout, I want you to look at a verse, 1 John 5:19. It's in your handout. It says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in what, church? Wickedness." Wickedness. Look up at the screen and notice on the screen here how that it can be a challenge to keep our feet clean. It can be a challenge. I mean, the world system can muddy you up. Paul's writing to Christians, this verse. This isn't to lost people. This is to Christians, which lets you know that Christians can get involved in any of that. Fornication means sexual sin. Do y'all think that the world has sexual sin? Do you think it happens in the world? That's supposed to be funny. You can laugh at that. Yeah, ha ha. Yeah, it goes on every day, right? Can Christians commit sexual sin? Yes or no? Yes. But the Bible says fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh what? Saints. He says, you're different now. You're new. He says, for you were sometimes darkness. That was your identity. You were in the world. And you were part of Satan's world system. You were in darkness. He said, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Notice the word walk again, dealing with our feet. He says, you need to have clean feet. He says, you shouldn't be doing the things that the world system does and dirtying up your feet. He says, no. He says, walk as children of light. You are different now. Christ lives inside of you. You are a saint of God. You're no longer just a sinner saved by grace. No, you are a saint of the living God. You are a child of the risen Savior. And Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And he says, you should be different now. He said, you should go out there and live like a Christian lives and live as light. And then he goes on in that chapter. Look in your handout. I've got some more verses from the same chapter. Ephesians 5, 10 and 11 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Obviously, church, listen, Paul knew what a challenge it would be for believers as they walk through this world system. He knew it would be a challenge. None of us are above getting our feet dirty. None of us in here are above taking on wrong attitudes. None of us in here are above, you know, doing the wrong thing, taking on some wrong actions. None of us are above really just falling in love with Satan's world system out there. In fact, you know, John wrote this to believers. Let's bring it up on the screen. He said, love not the world. Say that with me. Love not the world. Is that a command? Yes or no? Yes. Don't fall in love. That's what you used to be. That's darkness. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, he said, that's not of the Father. He said, that's of the world. So none of us are above getting muddied up. I mean, we can come and we clean up and, you know, we put on clean clothes and, you know, and get our Bible and come to church and we can look pretty good. But you know what? None of us are above getting muddied up. And you know, sometimes we our feet are dirty and we haven't been walking right. And sometimes we don't even want to go to church because we're like, man, I don't want to go to church. Man, my walk is dirty. Let me tell you something. When you're out there in the world system and you get muddied up, I want you to know something. The best place to be is in church. because that's where God can deal with you. That's where God can work on you. That's where God, he wants to chip away. God wants to, you know, he wants to clean our feet. He wants to clean up our walk. And that's the best place to be is in church. And my question for you is this: has God provided a cleansing agent for us today whereby we can have a clean walk before him? And the answer to that is absolutely he has. And it's the water of God's holy word. I want you to look in your handout at Ephesians 5:26. I've got it in there. It says that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about the church, that's us. The Bible says he wants to sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. Now, I want you to notice, church, how that God's word is compared to water. There is no way to keep clean feet in our walk with Christ without the word of God being a vital part of our everyday life. And just to use that analogy again, and there's no water in here, but just pretend there is, all right? Use your imagination. But the Bible says that, remember, he took the water, right? Jesus, the Bible says, filled the basin full of water. He grabs the towel, and he goes over, and he starts to clean their feet with what? The water. The Bible says he cleanses us by the washing of water by the word. That means that the word of God needs to be a vital part of your everyday life to keep your walk clean. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, are you suggesting that I read the Bible every day? Right. That's exactly, in case you haven't caught on, that's exactly what I'm saying. That you ought to be in the Word of God every day because that's your cleansing agent. That's what's going to keep your walk clean. You say, but Pastor Dan, that's what I do on Sunday. I study, I come to church and we study the Bible. And that's what I do on Sunday. I study the Bible on Sunday. Let me ask you something. Do you only struggle with sin on Sunday? I don't know about you. I struggle with sin on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. How about you? Can I get an amen out there, huh? Don't make me feel like I'm just a sinner all by myself up here now. You don't just struggle with sin on Sunday. I mean, what we're doing here, that's great, but this isn't going to get you through the week. This is not going to get you through the week. You have to get into the Word every day, or try to get in it every day. I mean, it's like for a Christian, if you miss a day and things happen, I understand that, but that ought to be the exception to the rule, that we're getting in the Word every day almost. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's like this. You get into your Bible and you begin to see areas that aren't right in your life. And you begin to see things in your life that need to be corrected. As you get into God's Word, one of the parts of God's Word is it exposes that sin. It's kind of like with water. It's the same way. Sometimes you don't realize how dirty something is until you apply some water to it. Have you ever taken water and a towel to something that you thought wasn't that dirty, and then you looked at the towel? And you're like, whoa. You're like, honey, look at this. I had no idea this thing was this dirty. The water revealed the dirt. It's and I thought, I'm going to test that this week. So I got a white towel, and I wanted to bring it in to kind of show you the before and after. This, I took a white towel like that, and I looked at my van. And it looked pretty good. And I thought, that van doesn't look bad at all. And so I took the white towel, and I took it to the van, and all I did was put water on this towel. I didn't use any soap. All I did was water, and that's, look at that. Some of you are like, you are a sinner, Pastor Dan. You are a sinner. It looked good. I thought I was okay until I took the water to it, and then I took the water to it, and I'm like, look at that. This thing's filthy. The water exposed its true condition. You know where I'm heading with this. We can think we're okay. And then we get into the Word of God, and the Word of God exposes our true condition. The Bible is likened to a mirror, water, and it's also compared to light. Now, I want you to think now. Think with me about those analogies, all right? I'm going to scare y'all. Woo! All right. I've been wanting to do that ever since we got the new platform, so. Because you guys, I know, are all scared I'm going to fall, but I'm all right, okay? You think about those analogies of water and light and a mirror. All three of those things expose dirt and dust and grime. How many of you have, and be honest, how many of you have ever thought your table in your living room was clean and then the Florida sunlight came through, shined right on your table the right way, and you saw that level of dust? Come on, how many of you have had that happen? Denise swears that the dust accumulates overnight. She's like, I just cleaned that table. And there's a layer of dust on that table. The light exposed it. You didn't really notice it until the light hit it. The light hits it and you're like, whoa. Anybody ever shed some light on the top of your ceiling fan blades? Isn't that a joy? You go up to change a light bulb and you feel like the grossest person on earth, right? You look at this, some of you are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I clean my blades every day. You're just gross, Pastor Dan. No, I don't think I clean them every day. But, you know, you go up there and you look and you're like, whoa, look at that dust on top of these ceiling fan blades. The light hits it and you're like, wow. Look at that. A mirror. The Bible's likened to a mirror. You can have stuff all over your face, but you don't know it until you look in the mirror. The other day, I went out with the boys. Me and Clint and Clayton and Caleb went out. We were out of town together, and Denise was hanging out with Kendall, my daughter-in-law, and Landon, our grandson. And I'm out with the boys, and we're out of town, and we're coming back, and the boys absolutely insisted that we stop and get an ice cream. Insisted. I didn't want any part of it, but they insisted that we stop and get an ice cream. And so we did. And I didn't want them to feel, you know, funny, so I had one too. And when I got home, my wife's like, oh, did you have good ice cream? I'm like, well, how did she know that? Really didn't kind of want her to know that. And she's like, oh, was the ice cream good? I'm thinking, how did she know that? I thought you had ESPN, you know? And I'm like, how'd you know that? She's like, Dan, you got chocolate all over your face. All over my chin. And it's like, guys, if you ever don't want your wife to know you have ice cream, it'd be a good idea to look in the mirror, amen, before you go home. And had I looked in the mirror, I would have seen it, but I didn't see the hot fudge all over my face, you know, because I didn't look in the mirror. What does a mirror do? A mirror exposes the true condition of something. Light exposes. Water exposes. The Bible is likened to light, a mirror. I hope you see what I'm getting at, and I hope you're grabbing a hold of this thing. That you need to get into the Word if you're going to have a clean walk, if you're going to have clean feet. It's kind of this analogy. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. We know that we're sealed to the day of redemption. We've got God's Spirit in us. And if the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, He's really kind of like the towel. And the Holy Spirit is the towel. And the Holy Spirit takes the water of the Word and applies it to our walk. And that's what happens then. He exposes the dirt. The Holy Spirit of God takes the water of the Word and applies it to our feet, applies it to our walk, where we can see where our walk with Christ has gotten defiled. Attitudes that aren't right. You know, it's like, man, I shouldn't be looking at that. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be treating my wife that way. I shouldn't be talking to my kids that way. That's not right. I mean, I don't have a right to talk to my kids disrespectfully any more than I wouldn't go out and talk to someone at work that way. I don't, you know, and the Holy Spirit just kind of takes the water and applies it. It's like, man, you know what? What are you looking at in secret? What are you using your phone for? To talk, to text, or something else? You know, and the Holy Spirit begins to work you over as you're exposed to the light, the water, the mirror of God's Word. Some of us are like, man, I don't understand why I battle with sin so much, and I don't understand why my walk is so lousy with the Lord. And the first question is, how are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? Are you serious about the Word? You see, it's a blessing to us when the Holy Spirit exposes the dirt in our life. That's a blessing. Because when we see the dirt, we're more motivated to clean it. When we see the dirt, we're more motivated to clean it. Hey, anybody in here? You ever pull the couch out in your living room? Out from the wall? Isn't that fun? And I don't think there's ever been a time when I've, you know, you're looking for something, right? You lost your keys or whatever. And I was teasing times, and, you know, we pull our couch out usually when we're looking for Clint's keys, you know. Clint loses his keys a lot. I do too. But the other day they lost their keys and they found them in the flower bed. Landon, my little two-year-old grandson's in the flower bed playing and came out and went, "Keys, Mom." They've been looking for them for 2 days. They were in the flower bed outside. But you know, you pull your couch out from the wall, and I don't think there's ever been a time I've ever done that when Denise has not said, "Get the vacuum cleaner now. I'm cleaning this." Right? When you see the dirt and the dust, the grime, it motivates you to want to do something about it. So I would encourage you to get into the Bible. And some of you are like, where do I start? 66 books in the Bible. Where do I start? Some people make the mistake. They're just going to start in Genesis and start working their way through. And then they get into Leviticus and they're like, talking about blood offerings and all that. And what I would recommend is read a proverb a day. The book of Proverbs has 31 proverbs. And read the proverb that day that corresponds with the date of the month. So like tomorrow's the 13th of March. Wake up in the morning, set your alarm 5 minutes early, read Proverbs 13. Okay, it'll take you probably 5 minutes, if that, to read Proverbs 13. And it's going to give you practical insights and wisdom into how to live your life. Read the proverb that corresponds with the date of the month. Then at night or at lunch, read a book written to the church, which the book of Romans is written to the church. That's the first one, Romans. Start reading in Romans. Read a chapter from Romans. Read a proverb every day. If you just, I'm just using that as a suggestion. You can do whatever you want. But if you're wondering where to start, read the proverbs that deal with that date of the month, and then also read something from the book of Romans and start working your way through those church age books. But there's one more important aspect to clean feet. Let's go to number 3 in your handout. And that is, we must submit ourselves to Christ. We must submit ourselves to Christ. If you're dirty and filthy and you've been out in the yard working and you come in to the shower and you want to get clean, if, say, for example, the shower head's right here and the shower stream is hitting right about where that basin is, the pitcher is, if you stand back here and you're like, oh, I don't want to get wet, and then you're over here, oh, I don't want to get wet. And then you skirt it, and you're over here, and oh, I'm not going to get in that. Oh, that might be cold. And you don't get in the water. All right, you don't get in. Are you going to get clean, yes or no? Come on, are you? Yes or no? No. You know what you have to do? You have to submit yourself to the water. You have to yield yourself and let that water hit you, or you're never going to get clean. And my point is this. Is when the Holy Spirit takes the water here of the Word of God and begins to apply that to our walk, to our life, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things in our life that is not right, the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, the Holy Spirit begins to want to cleanse us, then we cannot resist the work of Christ like Peter did. We have to acknowledge, yes, my feet are dirty, and yes, I want to change, and yes, I want cleansing. I want my walk to be right. I mean, when Jesus Christ comes over here to Peter, and he gets to Peter, Peter's like, oh, nope, what are you doing? Lord, you going to wash my feet? Yeah, Peter, I need to wash your feet. You'll never wash my feet. He had feet behind him. You're never going to wash my feet. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't walk with me. You can't have a part of what I'm doing. Finally, Peter's like, okay, all right, it's humbling, but go for it. I want you to do what you need to do. And he finally submitted to Christ. we can't work against Christ and what he's trying to do in our lives. We have to submit to him in humility. We have to recognize that only Christ can cleanse us. Only Christ can make us right. Only Christ can cause us to walk worthy of him. Peter's desire to be in fellowship with Christ ultimately led him to put away his pride, put away all that arrogance and say, okay, there, clean me. Clean my feet. And we have to be the same way. In your handout, it says that your relationship with Christ is unchangeable once you're saved. But your fellowship with Christ has to do with your daily walk, your feet. It's like parents, you know. I mean, you guys get the analogy, right? Those of you in here that have ever been a parent, you know that you have an unchangeable relationship with your kids, but you know that your fellowship can be hindered, right? If they're disobeying and they're not doing the right thing, you know, or you're not doing the right thing, your fellowship can be hindered with your kids. The relationship's there, but the fellowship can be hindered. You say, Pastor Dan, I thought that when I got saved, I thought you said that, remember the bathtub? I thought you said that all my sins were forgiven. All my sins were cleansed, and that is true. When you got saved, you were saved from the eternal penalty of your sins the moment that you got saved and the moment that you trusted Christ. That sin can never condemn you in the sense of breaking your relationship with God. But there's a difference, and this really helped me when I got this. There's a difference between judicial forgiveness and parental forgiveness. And what I mean by that is this, and this will help you, I think. Judicial forgiveness is when the judge, God's called the judge. He is the judge of the universe. And when the judge of the universe remits the penalty of your sin when you trust Christ and you're saved, the penalty of your sins, past, present, future sins, all those sins are forgiven the moment that you trust Christ. The judge of the universe forgives you. The eternal judge gives you judicial forgiveness. Those sins can never be used against you in a court of law, so to speak, ever again. The judge has forgiven you of that. But then the judge becomes your father when you get saved. He becomes your heavenly father. And there's judicial forgiveness, but then there's parental forgiveness. Let me ask you this. Once you're saved and you know the Lord, are you still going to ever sin? Yes or no? Yes, your feet are going to get dirty. Well, what happens? That disrupts your fellowship with God, with your Father. It's not that you have to get saved all over again. I mean, he's still your Father. But you need to come before God with honesty and admit your sin. Allow your Father to give you parental forgiveness. Restore that fellowship. That takes submission. It's like my boys when they grew up. Sometimes my boys would disobey. Sometimes my boys would do wrong. And I'm still their dad. My relationship with them didn't change. I'm still their dad. She's still their mom. But then many times they would come to us and they would be like, Mom and Dad, I have done wrong, and I was wrong. What I did was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. And be like, son, we've already forgiven you. You're our son. But you know what? That means a lot to us that you want that sweet fellowship with us. Of course we forgive you. And that fellowship is restored. In your handout, it says that your submission to Christ as your Savior brings union with him. But your daily submission, that happens at salvation, but your daily submission to Christ as your Lord, that brings communion with him. Union and communion, they're two different things. How many of you have ever sat at the dinner table with your family and it was a chilly environment? You guys know I don't mean the AC is too low. You guys know what I mean, right? You know what I mean by chilly environment? Come on, how many of you have ever been at the dinner table and there's been a chilly environment? Come on, confession is so good for the soul. Raise your hand, please. It's chilly. Why? Because members of the family are at odds, right? Mom and dad are maybe at odds, or the parents are at odds with the kids, or brothers and sisters are mad at each other, and there's this chilly environment at supper. What's the issue? It's not union. We're still a family. The union is there. It's the communion. The communion is lacking. There's not that sweet fellowship. Paul uses the same illustration to the church. He says, you cannot take your chair and pull up to the table of devils and fellowship at the table of devils and then just pick up your chair and come over here and pull it up under the table of the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. He said, that ain't going to work. That won't work. You can't fellowship at the table of devils and the table of the Lord. It's not that the relationship isn't there. He's your Father in heaven, but that fellowship, that communion is hindered. That's why we need that daily exposure to the Word of God, daily in this, and then daily submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ. And as I daily expose myself to the water of the Word and apply it to my walk, and I daily submit to what God's doing in my life, then that brings that sweet fellowship, that sweet walk. How many of you have been washed by faith in Jesus Christ? How many of you have put your faith in Jesus? Say amen, huh? If yes, how are your feet? How are your feet? Have you gotten dirty? In other words, how's your daily walk with Christ? Will you allow God's word to show you the true condition of your feet, your walk? And it says in your handout, will you submit to Christ? Will you submit? Will you submit yourself to Jesus Christ? Let him do a work in you.